This is DM Praveen Kumar.
This is Pastor Taylor Shippey.
Scott Jones here.
I'm Pastor Joy Martinez Marsh.
Steve Wistoff.
Maulesh Mobori.
Susan Howell.
Welcome to Mission in 5, the podcast where we ask a handful of questions to ministry practitioners to learn more about who they are and where they see God moving in their community. I am your host, Greg Mamula. I would like to invite you to journey with our American Baptist Churches of Nebraska's Lenten series titled Facing Jerusalem. Each week, we will introduce you to a few American Baptist pastors from our region to discuss a biblical text from the Gospel of Luke as we journey together with Jesus from Samaria to Galilee to Jerusalem. We will walk together through Holy Week, the crucifixion, and into the hope of Resurrection Sunday and the appearances after. We will read through the passages of Scripture for the upcoming Sunday and discuss the insights gained by reading, praying, and studying together. We will also share ideas on how we might preach this text to our local churches. Be sure to check out the show notes for links for our shared reading plan and resources to help you plan your way through the Lenten season. Now, every week through my work with American Baptist Churches of Nebraska, I am always amazed at the many and varied ways that God works in our individual communities and when multiple churches network together for mission and ministry. That conversation has always been the purpose of this podcast. Our hope for this special series is to see how we might continue to share in our mission and ministry together as we participate in God's mission in Nebraska. I'm joined today by several great pastors from across the American Baptist Churches of Nebraska. I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves. Who are you and where do you come from?
Scott Jones, pastor at United Faith Community Church in Valley.
I'm Pastor Joy Martinez Marshall, First Baptist Church of Lincoln.
Steve Wistoff, Second Baptist Church of Lincoln.
Maulesh Mobori, Pastor of Livingstone Christian Church, Lincoln.
Hey, this is T.N. Praveen Kumar, Benson Baptist Church, Omaha, Nebraska.
Susan Howell, I'm representing First Baptist Church, Blair.
And this is Taylor Shippey, pastor at Gibbon Baptist Church in Gibbon, Nebraska.
We're gathering once again to discuss Jesus making his way to Jerusalem. And we continue to journey through Luke. Today's passage is for the Sunday of March 17, Luke 19, 11 through 27. So we encourage you listeners to join us in a Lectio Divina or dwelling in the word style of scripture reading. Pastor, read the passage for us and go ahead and take a few minutes after you're done with the text, pause the podcast and just kind of reflect on a key word or a phrase or an idea that jumped out to you. And then come back into the podcast and you'll be able to hear what we heard the Spirit leading us. Would Pastor Taylor Shippey, would you please read this text for us?
The crowd was listening to everything Jesus said, and because he was near Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. He said a nobleman was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, "Invest this for me while I am gone." But his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, "What do we want him to? Why we do not want him to be our king?" After he was crowned king, he returned and called to his servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. And the first servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount." "Well done," the king exclaimed. "You are a good servant. You've been faithful with the little I entrusted to you, so you will be a governor of 10 cities as your reward." The next servant reported, "Master, I invested your money and made 5 times the original amount." "Well done," the king said. "You will be a governor over 5 cities." But the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, "Master, I hid your money and kept it safe. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with, taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant." "The wicked servant," the king roared, "your own words condemn you. If you knew I was a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvests crops I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then turning to the others standing nearby, the king ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds." "But master," they said, "he already has 10 pounds. "Yes," the king replied. "And to those who use well what are given, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And as for these enemies of mine who didn't want me to be their king, bring them in and execute them right there in front of me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right. So we continue to make our way to Jerusalem. Jesus has gone from the outskirts of Samaria all the way up into Galilee. He's come back through the borderlands into Samaria. He's swung south of Jerusalem to, or south and east of Jerusalem to Jericho. And there's this huge mountain hill that he's having to climb up in order, geographically, in order to get from Jericho into Jerusalem. And along the way, he tells this parable of 10 talents to 3 servants. What were some of the things that you've heard in this?
When gifts are given to you, you need to make them work and do the most with them that you can.
Yeah.
And I think there are two major themes in here. One is the authority of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the second one is the accountability that we all have to his authority. I think those are the two major themes.
He told the parable to show that, to let them understand his kingdom was going to be spiritual and not that when he wasn't going to be their earthly king, and that they needed to remain faithful until he came again. And it centers around the servant who was unfaithful.
One of the big themes that we've touched on in some of the other readings is that response to the redemption or the work of God is always to see and do, and how that's a huge theme in Luke. And so I think this illustrates even more that point of the disciples seeing Jesus doing what he has done when the church becomes the church later, of course, after the resurrection. But this idea that faith is always a part of responding. And so not only do you believe and have faith, but then you go and do likewise.
Also, Jesus uses this parable to teach about the coming kingdom of God on earth. And then also the parables has a number of lessons that for disciples and for us today, including Jesus is going away for some times. And then secondly, Jesus will return as absolute king. And then thirdly, Jesus has given us money to see which is of us are the best manager, if we're best managers or not. And that's need to be considered. And at the same time, Jesus will reward his servants according to what they have accomplished. And the servants who have done well in that particular business for him will be successful. And those who doesn't do will be stripped from everything they had because they become so rebellious. And they will be punished with eternal separation from the king.
When we look at this first verse, verse 11, the crowd was listening to everything Jesus said. It made me look up and recognize that this conversation is had at the table of Zacchaeus. Jesus is with Zacchaeus. Salvation has come into this house is the line before that, right? And so this context that Zacchaeus, a tax collector, he's recognizing who Jesus is. He's repentant. You know, that's another sermon. But it does, that's the crowd. That's Zacchaeus's friends. Other tax collectors, other people like that are who's hearing this story. So when they hear about noblemen going off to a distant empire to gain their wealth, they only need look outside at the Romans who had come to this distant land to gain their wealth off the backs of the Israelite people. They're tax collectors who are capitalizing off of that opportunity from the Roman Empire. And so the fact that salvation has come to them, maybe they're hearing it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. And historically, yeah. It was common for a king to go off to receive his authority or to do business or whatever. It was, you know, Herod went to Rome to receive his authority in 40 BC. I'm reading from a commentary I thought was very interesting. And then Archelaus did the same thing in 4 BC. And so, like you said, Greg, him being a tax collector for the Roman government, they would have this understanding of this king's authority of going off and receiving that. And then so now you apply that to this parable where you've got these servants who are, one is kind of making his own decisions and following his own path and so on. he was being disobedient, and that would resonate with them. They would understand that that historically, they would understand that that's not the way it's done. It's not what a faithful servant would do.
And it's a note about generosity and stewardship, because remember, Zacchaeus says, I will pay back four times as much. And then now it's this idea of stewarding well the money. The person that hid it in the field, that didn't want to do anything with it, then was in the wrong, or was not successful in the parable. Mm. And so there's like an underlying generosity to it.
But Greg said, being my whole life an accountant, the story resonates with me because of the money aspect, you know, yeah, making money or not making money, taking a risk, because the person who makes money often takes a risk to do that. But again, I'm if he's speaking to the tax collectors, he's speaking in their language, if you will, so that they would understand it. But I'm looking at it from a more general and saying, you know, God gives us gifts, and he expects us to use them to multiply. And if we don't use them, the gifts that we've been given, then, you know, we're not obeying him. We're not doing what he wants us to do. So your gift doesn't have to necessarily be making money. It could be something else. And like teaching or preaching or whatever. And if you're not using it, then you're being as disobedient as anybody, as this person who hid their money in the field. So I'm looking at it from a non-money perspective, just as a kind of a general gift.
Yeah, Susan, I'm kind of thinking that direction too. Is, you know, a lot of us see, or we know that the kingdom of heaven is here. It's upon us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, we want to keep it to ourselves. We don't want to share it. And we're afraid of what others will think. We're afraid of what maybe the pushback or the looks or the things, that rejection that we get. But here in this parable, he tells us that we need to go and share it. We need to put our works together. And a lot of us, we just don't like to do that. We don't like to get outside mm-hmm. of our boxes.
True.
It is interesting how financial stewardship is transitioned into social or political position, right? They go from being stewards of money to stewards of cities, people. You know, there's a task there. There's a purpose, you know, and maybe it's a little bit to do with these talents and gifts, you know, whatever you're good with. You know, we look at the rest of the New Testament. What are spiritual gifts for? For the building up of the church, right? Mm-hmm. And so you kind of see that you have this talent with finances, but it's so that the cities can thrive, right? So now mm-hmm. they're going to be responsible for larger cities and that kind of thing.
I'm captivated by why Luke tells this story now. Mm-hmm. So the only other time we have the story is in Matthew chapter 24. And in that setting, it's apocalyptic. It's right after the parable of the 10 virgins. And in that setting, it's about the bridegroom coming back and making amends and letting people in. And so it's about the end of time. But Luke decides to tell this story right before Palm Sunday, right before Jesus goes into his supposed kingdom. And you can hear these undertones that he's about to go be coronated king, but no one wants him to be king. It's an interesting timing for Luke to tell this story here. And it kind of implies, are there implications that we need to tell the story before Palm Sunday, as opposed to Matthew tells it after Palm Sunday in a different setting? What is Luke trying to tell us as we get ready to crown Jesus king? Do we really want him to be king? What kind of servants do we want him to be? Because clearly the third servant had a very different view of the guy than the first two servants did. Mm-hmm. He seems to claim that he knows he's a hard man and he was afraid of him. Isn't that such mm-hmm. an interesting perspective that the other two servants apparently didn't have of their king? Or maybe it's because it seems to imply when I read it, that third servant didn't want Jesus to actually be king. You know, he didn't want his master to become the king. I don't know.
To what Taylor said, Alan Culpepper argues that thus the greedy and vengeful king of this parable serves as an anti-type for Jesus. as he enters Jerusalem as, quote, the king who comes in the name of the Lord. So maybe there could be some interplay between, you know, not so clear that this is Jesus the king, but then as he enters Jerusalem in a different way, he's a different type of king than this vengeful king or whatever that's named him.
That's good.
I find it interesting how like the gifts are given for each and every one. Like when a gift of salvation, it's like, I'm just thinking about like, we all have some gifts, but how we steward it, like rather than just like holding on. And I think God is inviting us to be faithful to do with what he has given us in terms of the gifts that we have in life. Maybe an art, maybe a singing. Sometimes we feel hesitant to use what he has gifted us and just like, okay, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to hold on. You know, I think like we must faithfully do use the gifts with what the master has given us until he returns. It's just an invitation to be his good stewards.
I look at it closely, so we're winding this. The noble man is the parables. In the parable of Jesus, who left this world, but who will return as a king someday. And the servant, the king charges with the task, actually represent followers of Christ, which is us. The Lord has given us a valuable commission, and we must be faithful to serve him until he returns. And of course, upon his returns, Jesus will ascertain the faithfulness of his own people. As you can look at Book of Romans 14, 10, 12, says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account. So that's very important. There's a work to be done, and we must use that what God has given us for his glory. And there are promised rewards, of course, for those who are faithful in their charge.
The NIV commentary, Beryl Bach, he opens up his conversation on this parable, I think is a great way to maybe kind of wrap this up. It says, this is the final parable in Luke's record of Jesus's final journey to Jerusalem. Its themes are Jesus's authority and judgment and the faithfulness of his disciples, important topics in light of his coming departure and eventual return. What relationships will people have with Jesus? What accountability will they possess in light of his absence and return? And what will happen to the nation that rejects him?
Dun, dun, dun.
I think those are great questions, and it's a great way to kind of summarize kind of the questions we had as well and some of the things that we were wrestling with this.
And Daryl Bach continues to circle around to that same subject, you know, continuously, which he places a lot of emphasis upon the authority versus the obedience, I think.
Yeah.
As we should too.
Thank you for listening to Mission in 5. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so that you will be notified every time we produce a new episode for this special Lenten series. Please take a moment to rate and review the podcast on your favorite streaming platform and share it with your friends and family and your larger social media network. Check out the show notes for information on our Lenten series, including all the texts from Luke, a few resources, and contact information for our guest pastors and their congregations. Feel free to support us by giving through Tithely on our abcnebraska.com website. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.